Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise God. Praise the Lord for His promises to be with His people. I'm just so thankful for His mercy and His goodness. This is one of those times when I feel my need of the Lord in a very special way. I've had a lot of thoughts, and I'm just trying to trust the Lord to organize them, and I've also had the enemy oppose in a very powerful way, in a lot of ways. I'm glad he was defeated at the cross, aren't you?
Amen.
Thank God. And I don't know exactly, I'm going to go ahead and start and just kind of lead into where I want to head. But you know, at the deacon and elders meeting the other night, we were speaking for a little bit about the condition of the world. And, you know, we see the fulfillment of where we know the Lord has shown us things are headed. That the enemy is loosed and being allowed to appeal to everybody that has an open heart to him. And that's most of the world. They're drinking in his lies. And we see it in every hand. And one of the manifestations of that is what we see in what is called the Christian church. There's so much in the world. And this is not about us or any of that sort of thing. It's just in a general sense, there is a... I don't think the apostles, if they were suddenly to arrive on earth today, would even recognize most of what is called Christianity. There is such a spirit of deception in it. And it reflects all of Satan's efforts to hinder and to block and to keep people from the reality of what God did through Jesus Christ. And I believe that God, you know, has promised. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So we know that the promises of God are true. And yet in the midst of that, we know that we need to proclaim God's word without compromise, without worrying about pleasing people. We need to be willing to stand up. That's what's happening in churches. You've got churches everywhere. Sometimes there are people who, you know, have a sense of knowing what the Lord wants, but they're afraid. Pastors are afraid to preach because they're going to lose their people. They're going to lose their budget. They're going to lose their salary. The system just is geared to pleasing people and wanting to build a crowd and build numbers. And God help us to have no other aim except to say, Jesus, you do your work and use this poor, weak, unworthy vessel and these poor, weak, unworthy vessels. Just come and dwell in our midst and call your people together. Share the word of God. Build it into people's hearts and lives. And then when the harvest is fully ripe, then come and reap. And that's what's happening. And I want to be a part of that. You know, I was thinking back to the beginning of of what God did. God made himself known in an incredible way through the ministry of Jesus, didn't he? Three and a half years, whatever it was. And there was a tremendous, powerful revelation of God and his presence. And yet the interesting thing is that how many people were there that recognized the miracles, gloried in them, followed Jesus for a time, who wound up not following him, walking away in unbelief? It's a picture of the real condition, the real need in the hearts of men, that people could see all of that and walk away. I'll tell you, Satan has a strong hold in people's hearts, and it takes supernatural power to break that. And it takes a willingness on the part of those who hear the word of God to receive it, not as some little sweet message that makes my life here better and gives me a hope of heaven someday, but for all that it is, an uncompromising call to leave the world, to lay down our lives and to give them to him. And people over and over wouldn't hear that. They would follow him because he fed the 5,000. They saw the tremendous miracles that he performed. And wow, we need this guy. He can fix our problems. Let's make him a king. You read, was it John 6? You have that account. And then others who were following him because they saw the signs and wonders and Oh, what can we do so that we can work the works of God? All kinds of motivations that came not from a heart that truly wanted God on His terms, but one that wanted to somehow use God and use His power to enhance self. That was what was really going on there. And so when Jesus put the terms of the gospel in ways that were hard to understand, eating His flesh and drinking His blood, by which He meant believing on Him, a heart-level faith in what He did and what His body meant when He sacrificed it on the cross, that was what was behind it. But He put it in terms that would cause natural people who were looking to gratify natural desires, it caused them to reject that and to say, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And they left Him and walked no more with Him. And of course, you know, He turned to the disciples. He wasn't anxious about it. He said, will you also go away? Now, you know, I've heard it said that there were only 12 left. Well, that's not true. We know from Acts that there were more than that. But still, that was His focus. It was the 12 that He talked with. And Peter said, no, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There was something that was real in the heart. God, we need it. Yes. Folks, this is an hour. If you don't have the real deal, you don't have what you need. I mean, it's always been that way. Yes. But that's the condition right now in the world. We see the world. I mean, if you don't have the real deal in your heart, this world, the spirit that's in this world will overtake you. It's that simple. We need the real thing. Thank God He's more than willing to give it. He's more than willing to become that reality to us. So we see the victory that was won. We see how the devil thought he'd won by crucifying the Lord and then absolutely engineered his own ultimate defeat. And oh, what the forces of hell that screamed in terror when He rose from the dead as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. The ruler over death and hell itself and the grave and sin, all of that had lost its power because of what He did. And He came forth with a mandate from the Father to spread that good news to all the kingdoms of the world, to all of the world, and to gather a people for His name. And of course, we know that this confirmation, if you will, of the covenant that God had promised through His Son, the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the only one that's in force, in spite of what some people think. This is what it's all about. But God absolutely continued to confirm the covenant. If you will look, you will see that there was a period, probably again 3.5 years, I'm estimating, in which God powerfully confirmed the covenant. Starting on the day of Pentecost, as Peter stood up in the temple and proclaimed the word of God with such authority and power that the number grew to 3,000 people in a day. I mean, you talk about Jesus coming. You think Peter had the power to do that? No. No man has the power to do anything in the kingdom of God. We absolutely have no power. It's either Jesus in us or we're just playing church. And I pray that God will, in spite of all that's wrong and all that's lacking in us, will absolutely work to proclaim words that have the power to change destinies. Because if we don't have that, again, what do we do have? And so Peter, with an uncompromising voice, said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so that life, the purpose of the gospel is not to simply impart better ways of living, it's to impart a new life. And there were people who drank that in, who were born into a kingdom that can never pass away. And it didn't stop there, did it? They continued to meet together, to fellowship together. They met one another's needs in a practical sense, and God's presence was just powerfully among them. And you remember how Peter preached again in the temple courtyards after the man was healed. And again, there was such power that the number continued to grow, and they threatened him. They knew they couldn't say, you know, they couldn't really speak against it because there was a miracle that everybody knew about. But don't you dare talk about this man. Don't you dare preach about Jesus anymore. And what was their response? To go back and say, oh my God, we better change our tactics here. We better tuck it in here. No, they went back and said, oh God, you purposed all of this. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Stretch forth your hand. I mean, it was a call for God to go into action. It was not a defensive posture they took. It was an offensive. We're here for the kingdom of God, and that's all that matters. And we're going to strike out, and we're going to defy Satan's efforts to intimidate us. God, but we need you. We don't have what it takes. This is not a committee deal. This is a deal where either you're going to come and help us, or we're not going to have what we need. And God came, didn't he? The Lord came in power, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. That wasn't a one-time thing, was it? That's something we need all the time. May God help us. But anyway, you saw this tremendous power that, and nothing could stop it, and the church continued to grow as the Lord added. Well, now, you know, last couple of services in particular, we've sort of looked at some of these things from the devil's point of view. What do you think he was doing? I mean, obviously, the demons were looking on and wringing their hands. We've got to do something. But there came a day when the Lord said, all right, the demonstration has happened. Now let the word go forth. And you began to see things like persecution. But one thing was really notable right at the beginning, because up to this point, there was not a single person that the devil had been able to plant among the people of God. He hadn't been able to deceive any of them. There was perfect unity. Praise God. Boy, it's awesome when that happens, isn't it? But then there came a time when all of a sudden Satan was able to get to a couple, man and a woman, and they were helping one another by giving property, selling property, bringing the proceeds for the needs of the people. And the problem was not that they sold property and only gave part of it. The problem was that they lied about it, isn't it? The devil put it in their hearts to lie and to put self ahead of what they had professed to do before God. They were lying to God and presenting themselves as one of us. And what happened? Yeah, God struck them dead. That's how powerful God's presence was. How would you like it to be that today? If we would come in here and be a hypocrite. Whew. You remember how Brother Thomas used to talk about a boy in Sunday school, and the teacher asked, why isn't it like that today? And he finally spoke up and said, because there wouldn't be anybody left. Well, I pray that God will give us a heart that's not like that. But you see what the enemy was beginning to do. From his point of view, he said, I've got to get in there. I have got to do something to compromise the message, something to get hold of people's lives. Because I remember how Jesus said when he went to the cross, the devil's coming, but he doesn't have any hold in me. But see, I've been working on a whole lot of people, and I got strongholds. And so the way I can get in there and compromise all of this, I can begin to put people in there. Now, I can't keep everybody from being interested. But oh, when they are, I can get them in there, and I can plant people in there that really have never given their hearts to the Lord. I can begin to put people in there, and then I can use them, and they will compromise the testimony of the church. People will look on and say, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want it.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.